Welcome back to the Home Abroad podcast. On today's episode, I'll be speaking to Sonia, who is currently living and studying in Stuttgart. Sonia moved to Stuttgart from Bulgaria for her bachelor's, and she'll be sharing all about her experience enrolling in a German university as a European student. Sonia, welcome back to the Home Abroad podcast. It is wonderful to have you with us again.
Hi, guys. As Ellie said, I'm Sonia. I'm 24 and now doing my master's at a German university in Germany. And I'm studying architecture.
So you did your bachelor's in Germany too, is that correct?
Exactly. I enrolled at the same university and it was quite an adventure because as a foreigner, we mostly apply through agencies. But at that time, I was quite confident in my teacher that I had that she prepared me for the German exam. And I was also quite confident in myself too, because I was like, if I cannot manage to enroll myself at the university, then I cannot manage to live alone. So I did it by myself and it's like super typical Germany. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of things you have to fill out, a lot of platforms, yeah. A lot of this and that. And quite funny is that when you enroll for a university, you also have to enroll for the student dorms in order to get somewhere a room, which is very crazy. And also for some universities, I've heard from friends of mine that there are some exams that are, if you enroll for autumn, then you have to do some exams in spring or summer. We didn't have this, or some people have also interviews. For example, for masters, some have interviews. I think also for bachelors, like it's not a problem that you're an international student, then you do actually the interview in English. And, but yeah, it sounds more difficult than it actually is, but you just have to take it like it's a big exam, 100 questions probably, but they're like stupid, easy questions. So you just have to stay concentrated in order to make it.
Can you walk me through the enrollment process for a European international student who is applying for a bachelor in Germany?
Of course. So the preparations start not at the same year when you're applying. They start like 1 or 2 years beforehand with actually picking in which country you want to do your bachelor's. So if it's, for example, in my case, Germany, then it meant like more intensive courses in German in order to acquire the certificate that I needed to be able to start at the same time with my fellow students, to just move to Germany and start my bachelor's.
Do you need to speak German to enroll in university in Germany, even as an international student?
Not really. If your program is in German, there is also the possibility for this 0 year or 0 semester, where you spend 6 months or 12 months actually only intensively studying the language. You still enroll as a student, but you have this starting year. But if the university doesn't offer this, then you're quite obliged to start studying in Germany and to actually come to Germany with a German certificate.
Okay, good to know. When you decided you wanted to go to Germany from there, you got the German certificate. And then what was next?
The next was to actually parallelly looking to all the universities, what's best, and to make a decision that wasn't only on educational basis, also on which city I want to live in, where I can imagine myself living in. Because, yeah, it's great. The university can be like the first one ranking in the whole country. But if the cost of living are too high, or if it's too difficult to find a room, or if the city is too small, then it comes more to mind, can I imagine myself living for a longer period of time in the city? So those are the decisions that you have to make. Also, it's very good if you can make at least 3 favorites from all the universities. So apply at least 3 universities. Actually, I know from those agencies, some people apply through. You have to pick 5 universities. So in order to be sure that you get in somewhere, it can be also a bad university, but if you want to study abroad, then just do it all at the same time. And yeah, I think this was pretty much it. It wasn't like super difficult or super crazy. You also need your high school diploma to be validated and translated.
It needs to be translated to German.
Yeah, because their marking points, they're completely the other way around as ours. For us, 2 is the worst, 6 is the best. For them, 5 is the worst, 1 is the best.
Yeah. And I actually think of it because in Ireland, it's completely different. We have like points. So when I was doing my Leaving Cert, which is like when you finish high school, the maximum amount of points you could get was 600. So when I was applying for university in Amsterdam, I had to try and figure out what the Dutch equivalent was. Because like when you're filling out the application, it has like the Dutch marking scheme. So I had to try and figure out what the Dutch equivalent was. And then I emailed them and I was like, I don't know if this is accurate. I don't know what to compare it to. But yeah, I forgot that's actually a thing. You have to convert your diploma, not even, obviously you have to do it to German too, but you also need to convert the grading. That's a big thing.
Also, they wanted some sort of a CV that you had to prepare. Mm. Of course, what kind of a CV can you prepare with, I don't know, 18? Like, what do they expect from me to have achieved in life?
I guess they want to know if you've done any work experience or what your skills are. I think skills are a really important thing, even in the big adult world now. Skills are just a really important thing to have on your CV so that people know what your interests are and also what you're capable of. So I guess that's probably why. Yeah. But yes, it does. Now that I think about it, it does seem bizarre because I did it when I was 23. So I had experience.
I just had a few extracurricular activities, some sports that I did. And also quite funny, but also quite important, driving's license.
Do you think, is it necessary when you're applying for university to have a driving license? Is it that big a deal?
I don't think so. But I put it in there, like, why not? Yeah. Of course, if you're like in marketing or I don't know, have something to do like from traveling from A to B, from B to C the whole day long, then it's a different story. But if you're almost every time in an office, then it's not a problem.
Is it expensive to enroll in university as an international student?
As an international student, I think yes, because they have to pay like around 3,000 to 4,000 or 5,000 euros per semester or per year, something of you also have to apply for a visa. And very funny thing, in Germany, it's not divided into school years, it's divided into semesters. So you only have a visa for a semester, for 6 months. So if you're coming outside of Europe, you have to apply every 6 months for a visa.
God. Yeah. That's a lot of work.
Us people from Europe, we're just treated the same. Like, we pay absolutely the same as Germans.
No, it's crazy how much privilege. I don't think you realize how much privilege you have until you speak to an international student who's paying 6 times the fees we're paying and has 10 more hoops to jump through just to enroll in uni. It's crazy.
Yeah. But also, there are some of the people who walk around with Gucci flip-flops while you're like, I didn't shower today.
I'm trying to save money on the heating. Do you mind me asking how much it was to enroll over there as an international? Obviously, you're European, so it's going to be different for you. Like, for me, it was my first year in UVA was actually discounted. So I got it for half price, which I think was like 1,200. My second year was supposed to be full price, but because of COVID, they slashed it in half. It was also 1,200. And then my third year was 2,000. So in total, my degree cost me 4,000, but it's only because I'm European. If I'm not European, it's like way more. I think it's 10 plus.
It's not the same case with us. My fee for each semester that I paid to the university are around 220 euros.
Oh, that's very affordable.
It's very affordable. Of course, in addition to that are the tickets that you buy also each semester for the whole network of public transport in Stuttgart, which is also around like 240 or something. And yeah, that's it. Also, if you are a student that does not work in Germany, you are still allowed to pay your healthcare and everything in your home country, which is super, which is great, because for Bulgaria, for example, as long as you're a student, it's completely free.
Wow.
But since I've started to work in Germany, I have to pay, of course, for healthcare, which is quite expensive. It's 120 euros per month, and it goes up and up with every year that I get older.
And do you get any support for that? Because like here, it's the same here. You have to have health insurance, but they give quite comprehensive support. Like you get Zorgtoslag, which is like a discount on your health insurance. So they basically compensate for most of the price of the health insurance. Like my health insurance is like 140 euros a month, but I get Zorgtoslag, which covers most of it. So I only pay 40 euro a month myself.
Not that I know. The only thing that I know is for Germans until their 25th year, I think. If they don't work, their healthcare can be covered by the parents' healthcare. So they pay nothing.
Okay.
And almost to nothing, like something like this.
Nice. This is a question I should have asked you ages ago. I'm presuming you're doing your course in German, or are you doing it in English?
Okay.
I'm doing it in German.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And that would also make sense as to why you had to translate stuff to German for your enrollment. So the next question I have then is, did you face any challenges while you were applying for university in Germany?
I was very young at the time. And for me, everything was a challenge. Everything was new. But like the whole difficult thing was just moving as a whole to the country. And I don't know, figuring out what you really need and what you don't. Especially if you are like a very chaotic person that's not great of a minimalist.
Me too. I like that we're both in the same boat with that one.
And I didn't say that it was that difficult. Of course, there is this initial scare of the foreign language. But German is quite a funny language. I always say that it's a perfect language for terminology because they take two super easy words, combine them, and it's, I don't know, it's the name of something very adult like, very special, and you're just like, you're just looking at pie and an apple, and it's an apple pie. But we also had to write a letter of motivation in order to tell the university why they should get us and why we should start studying what we want to study.
Do you have any tips or advice for people who are writing motivation letters? Because I really struggle to write my motivation letter applying here. You don't need to do that at home in Ireland. It's not a common thing. So for me, it was totally like out of left field. I didn't know what to write. And I found it not hard to find resources, but some of the advice is so contradicting. What worked for you?
Actually, my teacher at that time helped me a lot because she was a very straightforward person. Hmm. And she was like, you may have 1,000 ideas in your head, but what you write is only one idea. So just write it perfectly. Just get hold of something that you want to write as a text and just start writing it. Because the person reading this, they won't think, aha, but maybe their other idea was better. No, they don't know it. Think of a really strong beginning. Just get something out of your heart and try not to sound as if you are trying to be liked by everyone. Just express the way you're thinking and sound unique. Because most of the people, when they read thousands of letters of motivation, they are like, okay, so you want money, you want power, you want to have fun. And at some point, it's quite easy to read between the lines. But also there are a lot of, if you Google letter of motivation, there are like a big list of sentences. For example, what it's in English, however, although, furthermore, and so on. You can also use those connections and just write something. Always have a good beginning, a good main part, and a good ending.
I think we'll also try add some links for resources on how to write a motivation letter, because it can be quite a tricky thing if you've never done it before. Definitely get someone else to read your motivation letter to make sure it reads well and it makes sense.
Or another pro tip, actually a conversation that I had with a colleague of mine earlier today, because in the first year of master's, we have this program that we have to write an essay. And since I studied architecture, I have forgotten how to write like a longer text.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, of course, for you, it's super difficult because you're not German and you cannot know if the text reads easily or reads well. And I'm just like, no, I can know it because when I start reading it aloud, I know.
Yeah.
If I struggle somehow pronouncing something, then it's probably not the best what I've wrote.
So don't include words you can't say. So that's good advice in general. Just take that piece on with you. There's some word that I can't say that I just refuse to deal with because I'm just like, no. So just a quick recap of documents that you'll need when applying for university in Germany as an international student. You're going to need a CV with whatever relevant information you can put on it, a diploma or your high school diploma, which you might have to get converted to the German grading scheme, worth checking out. You need to write a motivation letter. You need to have a form of ID, proof of health insurance, a certificate to prove that you can speak a certain language, certain level of English, or clearly I can't, a certain level of English or a certain level of German, depending on what your course is in. And depending on the course, you might also have to submit a portfolio.
Because I am an architecture student, we had to send a portfolio with 3 or 5 or something like this pieces of art that represent the theme that they have given to us. Okay. I think mine was like small and big, like a comparison. So I drew some stuff, but I also saw some friends of mine just sent pictures of things that they photographed. You can do it also. Why not?
When I was applying for uni here, I had to have a letter of recommendation. Did you need that?
Oh, yeah. I think I did. I think I asked my high school teacher for it. Yeah.
It's also a really good opportunity to know what people think of you because I got my old boss to write one. Not even old boss. I used to work in hotels and he was the assistant general manager. And he wrote me the most lovely letter of recommendation. Like I cried when I read it and I met him recently. And I was like, this is all down to you. I only got into university because of your recommendation letter. And he was so chuffed. It's a good way to read compliments about you.
Yeah.
So letter of recommendation is another important document that you'll need. How long did it take you to find out that you were accepted to the university?
So that was the 15th of July. Mm-hmm. And 2 to 3 weeks later, I knew that I was accepted.
That's very quick.
And yeah, that's very quick. And then I had like a 2 months previously to enroll and to decide if I want to take the place that I have been offered.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm going to just quickly recap some of the takeaways from this episode. When it comes to enrolling as a European international student for a bachelor's, in your experience, the prep started 2 years beforehand. You were looking at different universities in different countries and deciding where to go. You got a certificate to prove that your German was good, but it really depends on the course. You choose whether you'll need the certificate or not. If you're choosing to do a course in English, you might need a similar certificate just to prove that you can speak English. If you're doing your course in German, you'll obviously need a certificate to prove that you can speak German. And you recommend looking at all the different universities in Germany, but also look at the cities that they're in, look at the cost of living, the cost of rent, the culture in that city, and make sure that it's the right city for you. You picked a couple of universities just to make sure that you definitely got one, which is also a good call. I chose one.
I told you what I've been advised to do. I enrolled in 2 universities and the second one was just because I was pressured. Now okay. For masters, I only applied to my university and I was like, I'm either getting in or I'm getting out of Stuttgart.
I get you. When I came here, it was Amsterdam or nowhere. So I understand what you mean, but it's good advice for our listeners. It is good advice. Do as I say, not as I do. Yeah. Look at a few universities and then choose a few that you're interested in. You'll probably need to get your high school diploma converted into the German grading scheme. And the documents that you'll need will be your CV, your high school diploma, again, converted, motivation letter, proof of ID, proof of health insurance, a letter of recommendation and your certificate to prove that you speak proficiently in English or German. If it's necessary, you might also need a portfolio depending on the course you're applying for. When it comes to writing a motivation letter, take one idea and stick to it. Write it well. Write a unique motivation letter. Keep in mind that they're going to be reading thousands of them, so make yours stand out. And we will also link some resources in the description of this episode for motivation letters for anyone who might need it. And then it took you 2 or 3 weeks to be accepted, and then you had 2 months to choose to accept and enroll in the university. Is that correct?
Yeah. Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Sonia. It was great to have you back for this episode to speak about your experience of enrolling as a European international student in university in Germany. I don't know why that was such a tongue twister for me to say, but yeah, thanks so much. It was great to have you back.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Home Abroad podcast. This season, we've gotten into all things Germany. So far, we've covered everything from the cost of living, finding and securing a job in Germany, to choosing the right housing in Berlin, and plenty more. And there's even more to come. For the rest of this season, we'll discuss how to enroll in German university as a non-European student, what it's like living with German housemates, and even more. So be sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars. It means a lot.